maybe some scripture, and I'll be honest, I don't truly know how to start into this. It's what the Lord's laid on her heart. It'd take Him to bring it out, but I believe we'll start maybe reading over in Isaiah. Just follow the Lord from our 29th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I know some of this is real familiar. The way the Lord's kind of brought this together with us, we just want to try to follow Him. He knows more than we do, because I don't know nothing. But He knows all things. And, the 29th chapter of the book of Isaiah, he says there in the 13th verse, he says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." And I'm going to read just a little bit over here in the book of Matthew. And I'm going to read maybe in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And not trying to jump around on you too much. I just want to follow the way the Lord's gave this to us. And like I say, these are very familiar. I've read them here. You each one's probably read them yourself. But in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, he comes down there and about the 12th verse, he said, "Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I'll stop right there, I believe, for just right now. And got to thinking on these scriptures here a little bit, and we may turn over here in just a minute and read just a little bit in 2 Corinthians if you want to find your place there in the 3rd chapter, maybe right in there. But got to thinking on some of these things, and the Lord got to bringing some things out to us. And like I say, back over in Isaiah, where that he'd said there, that he said, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man." And you read over there in the book of Matthew where that he's talking to them there, and he's telling them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he comes on down and he's asking a question, because the Lord had just posed something to them over there, because that he was telling them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And these men got to saying, well, he knows we didn't bring bread. They got to thinking in a natural mind that the Lord was rebuking them because they didn't have bread. And the Lord come back to them and he told them, don't you remember where I fed the 5,000? I'm not trying to tell you of something natural. I'm telling you of something spiritual. He's trying to warn them against the ways of the Pharisees and those things there. And he come down and he asked Peter there, he said, and the disciples, he said, who does men say that I am? And the Lord wanted to know, what is people truly saying about me? What is people saying, who that I am? And I got to thinking on that just a little bit there. And he come on down and then he asked Peter, he said, who do you say that I am? And the things that the Lord got to opening up in this to me, and Lord help me to be able to bring out what God showed me in this and bring it out clearly and plainly through the Spirit of God. But everywhere we go in our life, Mark Harbor, everywhere we go upon the agreement in this life, we're saying who Jesus is to us.
as individuals, we are speaking in this life as we go along. And he told him over there in Isaiah, you know, that there was a people that drawed close to him with their mouth, but their hearts had been cast far from him. There's something we're saying in our lives, Josh, everywhere we go every day. And we're saying who Jesus is to us. You think I ain't telling nothing and I ain't saying nothing, preacher? Our lives are speaking louder than what we realize. In this day, right over in here in Isaiah's day, he's telling them, hey, they're speaking, they're telling a whole lot of things, but they don't know me. Hey, he said in that right there, he told them, he said, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man. Their fear was taught by the law of man. Hey, all they know is they were doing what they were told. And a lot of times in our life, we're just doing what we're told, Darrell. We're going through the motions just like we mentioned this morning. We're going through the ways of a Christian. We're just going along. Hey, our mouths are saying what it needs to say. Hey, our mouths are boasting and our mouths are speaking. And we're saying a whole lot of things. But you know what? Our heart is as far away from God as it could ever be. Who are you saying that he is today? Simon. Peter, he said over there, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood ain't revealed this unto you. But my Father, you read on down just right out of that. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now listen, he said, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again on the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. That word savor, it means to delight and enjoy some things. If you look that up, and he was telling him right there, he just got done telling him what's been revealed unto you. Hey, flesh and blood didn't show you that, Peter. Hey, my God showed you I'm the Christ. Hey, and then in the next breath or two, hey, Peter was rebuking God himself. He just asked him, who does me and say that I am? And Simon Peter, even he confessed, thou art the Christ. It's who I say you are. And then in the next breath, he was a rebuking him. Who do you say that Christ is? There's 1 minute we're confessing, and the next minute we're rebuking him. 1 minute we're saying, Lord, you're mine. Lord, you're my Savior. And our lives tell a different tale when we leave out of the house of God. We go walking in this world. You know what? People watch you, Brother Green. People's watching you, Daniel Carden. And every day of our life, Jay Roberts, people's looking. And later they're saying, here's what he thinks of Jesus. Does that make any sense? Every day of your life, y'all, somebody says, here's what he thinks of Jesus. When he asked them, he says, who does men say that I am? They started naming off John the Baptist, a prophet, and this and that. Hey, every one of them men knew exactly what everybody else thought of who Jesus was, didn't they? Who do you say that I am?
You know, even after Peter denied Christ, they knew who he was standing over there around the fire, didn't they? Hey, you're one of them. You are. You know what? People know who you are. They know who you are. And they know if you're denying him or they know if you're walking with him. I'm getting around with the message. This world's watching this church. We talked a little bit about it back there in the prayer room.
This world's watching us.
All the trouble, all the turmoil, all the hardships, everything that's going on in this world, I'm going to tell you what they're watching, how you're reacting to it. They're watching how I'm reacting to it. And they're watching to see if the church is going to fall apart. They're watching to see if we're going to go scattered because of all the trouble. Hey, who are we as the Church of Living God? Tommy LT, who are we saying that Jesus Christ is? I'm going to tell you here tonight, upon the authority of the Word of God, He's the Savior, and He's my God. He's a risen Savior. And this world is not diminished or tore Him down in one piece. Not one whit. He's still God. And the church needs to be saying He's God. The church needs to be saying He's all power. He's almighty. He's all knowing. He's all capable. And the church don't need to be a falling down and a worrying about everything going on around us. Praise God Almighty. It's in His hand.
Who are we saying that He is?
We're saying who He is by how we're living for Him. I'm going to tell you that.
Well, I ain't hurting nobody but me. You can go over in the book of 2 Corinthians. Back up into that second chapter just a little bit about the 14th verse. He said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always," listen, I love this, "which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Listen, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor," the delight. There's that word again. The delight and the enjoyment, the savor of His knowledge. We can delight in the knowledge of our Savior, church, by us in every place. There's not a place.
There's not a place I get in. Hey, that He ain't God. May not trouble I face. That He ain't God. I can delight. I can savor in the knowledge of the power of God. Wow! Praise His name. Hey, there is power in my God, Isaac Woody. Hey, this world ain't growing now.
Always triumph.
Always.
The Church of the Living God ain't going to be brought down and tanked.
There's power in my God. I want this world to see it. I ain't giving up. Why? Because God ain't giving up. I just feel like giving in, preacher. I do too sometimes. And every time I do, I see Jesus. Everything's falling in on me, me too. Every time I get down, I see Jesus. I ain't never been through nothing like this, preacher, me neither. But every time I go through it, I see Jesus. I ain't never been so discouraged and downhearted, preacher, in my life. Me neither. Every time I get down, I see Jesus. Yeah.
Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ.
Who do you say he is? Huh? Who's your God? Who's your God, Darrell Lee? Who's your God, Larry Fox? It's the same God I got. He's the God I disabled. And it's the same God I got. It's the Almighty Conqueror that's never been defeated. Who do you say that he is? Not with your mouth. I don't want to hear a word out of your mouth. God don't want to hear the words that come out of your mouth if they ain't coming from your heart. How the heart, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Lord, just don't want to hear your mouth from me. He wants to see your heart in this. He wants to see my heart in this.
For we are unto God a sweet savor. We're an enjoyment unto Him, listen, of Christ. In them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death. And to the other we are the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Now I'm going to back up and read that one more time. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. We're an enjoyment unto God, a delight unto God in Christ, of Christ. In them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death. And to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Don't you listen as we go in this next chapter. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You know what an epistle is? It's a letter sent. It's not just a letter.
It's a letter sent. It's a word that has a message. It's a letter that has a purpose, Isaac. That's what an epistle is. You know what he said it was? An epistle of God. Known and read of men. You want to know what this world is doing now? It's watching you. You want to know what it's doing to you? It's watching you. You don't want to know what we are? We're read of men. Known and read of men. When he asked the disciples, he said, who does men say that I am? They knew exactly, didn't they? They knew exactly what the world said about him. You want me to tell you something? The world knows what we say about it. We're known and made of men.
For as much, well, back up this. For ye are epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Hey, you want me to tell you something? You can carry one of these under your arm all the time.
You can take this book right here, and you can wire the letter off of it, sliding it in and out of the car every Sunday. Hey, you can wire the letter off of it, sliding it in and out on the pew every Sunday. But I'm going to tell you what, if this ain't written in your heart, if you ain't been born again, and you ain't got God wrote down without ink in your heart, you're lost.
It ain't just in this natural book right here.
But it better be written down in your heart.
He said, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be an epistle. You're plainly declared to be an epistle for God.
This world to watch it.
Known and read of by all men. He said, declared to be an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart.
He said, from the abundance of our heart, our mouth would speak, didn't you?
If it comes from the heart, you know what's going on. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you want to know what's going to come out of your mouth?
Jesus.
You know who you'll say He is?
He's Lord. And our natural life in this world, we'll walk godly before we. And you know what? We won't walk all tired down and wondering what tomorrow's going on. We won't be worried. Hey, we won't be worried about all the natural things to tire everybody up anymore. People says, well, don't that bother you? Why, naturally, yeah. Spiritually, no. My God's able. Thank God ever did this. And I'm not going to stop without the business. If I lose my voice today, people won't see my life. You know what they want to see every Sunday? Me climbing in that little old car and heading down the house of God. If they come sneaking up to the house, you know what they would catch me doing? Sitting out of that word right there. On my knees. Bragging on God for something. When I'm out on my job and I get frustrated like I did this week, they don't need to see me flying loose. And throwing some of my old temper tantrum. No, this thing they can see me trusting in God.
I'm known and read of all men. And you are too.
In the day and hour we live in the power of Simon. We live in a dark day as far as the way this world is going. But you know what? I'm walking in the light. I'm not walking in the darkness. I've got Jesus. I've seen the kingdom of God not walking in it. I ain't waiting on something to come and make me a better day.
No, my hope ain't in this world. My hope ain't in this dirt.
My hope ain't in this flesh. I've got hope.
The Bible said hope that seems not hope.
I've got hope for some things I ain't seen with my natural life. But I've got hope for some things my spiritual eyes been laid hold on. Back when I got born again, Gina, I seen some things that I never thought I'd ever seen. I saw joy. I saw peace. I had savor in my life. I had delight like I've never had. And before the night I got saved, I was a miserable little fella. Hey, the only thing I had to look forward to was death, hell, and the grave. I didn't have anything. That was joy in my life. For this darkness world didn't have a natural good. But praise God, I got saved at 12 years old. And I became heir and joint heir with Christ Jesus.
My eyes got opened up to a kingdom that nobody can take away from me.
My eyes got opened up unto a salvation that was brought to me through and by the blood of Jesus. What have I got to be all gloomy about? What have I got to be worried about? All the kingdom is mine. Who am I living by?
That Jesus Christ gave. As such, trust have we through Christ to Godward. Isaac read to us at the beginning of this from 46th chapter of the book of Psalms. Where's your refuge?
Who are you saying God is? Who do you say Christ Jesus is?
He's a refuge and concrete. You're over next to your house, down when it comes to rainstorm, where do you go? Why, you open the door, you go in your house, don't you? Because it's your house. That's your shelter. Mark Harvey, you fire on the ring valley, it comes a bad storm, where do you go? Your house. When I'm up Sandy Bluff, it comes a storm, I go in my house.
I don't stand out there in the storm, the wind, the lightning, the thunder. I get into something where I know I can find some shelter. Don't I?
Hey, where's your refuge? Who's your God? Who do you say he is? I say he's my refuge. I say when it gets trouble. I say when the storms come. I'm going to crawl in him. I'm going to get my refuge. Who is Christ Jesus?
Because he's mine. And I'm his. That he give me a place to get out of the storm. Preacher, you done lost your mind. I've got my mind right where it needs to be. First time in a long time. I want people to say, when they say, who did old Dean Rice say he was? He said he was Lord. He said he was Savior. He said he was a refuge in a time of storm. He said he was a place to go when the storms come, the troubles come up in this life. Church, this world needs to look and see where we're going. And they need to see that we're going to Jesus. Not running to the world. Not getting away from God. Not quitting on the house of God. Not laying down on our prayer life. Not laying down on the reading of the Word of God. Not laying down on the assembling of ourselves together. Who is your God? Jesus is his name.
Flesh and blood didn't deliver us to me. But the Father did. You know what? When I got Sunday covered up down on the table of my heart, not the lake. In my heart. You know who's reading this epistle? This letter sent? You send a letter. You sit down and write a letter. You don't have a letter. Nobody don't need it. What good's a letter that never gets sent? What good's a message that never gets sent? When nobody don't have it. These people was looking for a sign over here in this day. Back over here. You read that. He said there'll not be a sign given except that the sign of Jonas. No one had a message. John had an epistle that needed to be heard. Needed to be read at meeting. You know what Jonah done? He tried to run, and he didn't want to tell his message. He didn't want his letter to get read. But God had sent an epistle right in the middle. I can say this to this man. As a bunch sitting back today, God has a message in your life. God has an epistle that's read and known of me. And he wants it to be read. And he wants it to be heard. If Jonah had never went where he was sent, there was people down there that never heard what they needed. God sent the church into this lost and dying world. He sent his son into this lost and dying world. What's the message that's sent, preacher? Jesus. An open door. Jesus, a Savior from hell. Jesus, a risen Savior. A Savior. A Savior. An enjoyment of life and of life. I gained life today. And I've got life to look forward to. I've got a joy. I've got a hope. I've got a sufficient. Of hope everlasting waiting on me. It's sufficient. It's nothing. There's plenty there. You're lost. You ain't got that. It's death to death. The only joy you've got, the only happiness, the only delight you've got is to die here and lift your eyes in an eternal death. Never to be brought out of that. You leave here like that little woman did the other day. And you lift your eyes in hell. But you know what? It's life unto life. How you live down here in the Spirit? There's joy in the Spirit of God. There's everlasting joy. We don't need to be this wrong in our mind. We don't need to be being caught by man's precept, by man's law. The law has been fulfilled. Cannot do away with it, but then he might fulfill it. Nobody got to do that salvation. If you are saved, take your mind back to when you got born again. Take your mind back. Take your heart back. Just a second. You remember the hopelessness you felt before the night or day you got saved. You remember it was death to death. There was no hope to you. In your life, it seemed like there was nothing. You get yourself back there for just a second. You realize that somebody said in this country, I'm not right where he is. You tell me you know God, a letter that's got sent, make me forget the letter. You tell me that the epistle that's wrote down in your heart when you got saved, don't need to get read by somebody else and know of him. Remember how bad you wanted Jesus, and remember how good it felt when you got him. We got people dying and going to hell. And they're wanting so bad to find some savor, some delight, some joy. They're wanting so bad. Hey, you remember when old Philip went down by that old Ethiopian down there and he said, I'm reading it, but he says, how am I going to know what this is except somebody tells us? Hey, God sent a pistol by his way. Hey, known and read. Hey, I'm going to tell you what makes some people today that's read the Word of God. They know what it is. They've been taught by man, but they need somebody to show the way.
We're known and read of men, and the world needs to see us walking for Jesus, talking for Jesus, living for Jesus.
They're leading your life, Daniel. They're leading your life like you know what to show. Audrey, they're leading your life. Jay, they're leading your life. They know what you are. They know you, Savannah. They know you out on your job. Hey, they know you, Josh, over there. They're leading you. When they read your life, when they read my life, who do I say to you? You've been around somebody, and you start talking about going to church, and they're like, I don't know who's in church. If you ever had that happen, I've seen it happen. I didn't know. They read your epistle every day of your life. They read your Jesus. And they read some of them. And they read Jesus. It's the message sent. It's the letter sent. It's not something. You don't light a candle, but a bush rug, do you? You don't hide it somewhere, do you? No.
No, will you light a candle? Why? I bet you during this snow, I bet you there's a lot of people walking there with the digging through the closet to find the candles. You like me, went to dig through the basement to see if I had oil for the lamps. Went to the fire. Make sure I had some with the fire went out. I flushed toilets. I cracked the generator. I could have light. Now, what good would it do for me to light these things and then just put some room in the darkness? Matter of fact, what good is it for me to wear the light and it will come to do it? The only thing that's like what makes me burn is the way you deal with the Lord half the time. He's like a spider torn, stuck up under the truck. Until we break down, we ain't gonna pull him out. And then we gotta wonder, is it gonna work? We have a pistol known and ready to follow me. We better see it's walking around with a lot of light shining about everybody. We better know that we don't believe it. We better know who we're trusting.
Preacher, you saying we shouldn't be discouraged and we shouldn't be get down
hard? No, I'm telling you, you will get that blessing. You will.
But don't you forget who your God is. You stand firm.
And when you don't feel, you don't feel like walking, you just remember what he's done. Old David remembered when he went over there to fight Goliath. He remembered the lion and the bear, didn't he? You know what the Lord done this evening, Bobby? I come in this church. I got to look at Bobby. Some officers sitting in this church right now, this church is praying for me. From 8 years ago, when I first came to come here. 8 and a half years ago. And then what we got to make the prayer seem to be. Now, what do you think? Is God going to be any weak? Is he going to be weak for the next 8 years? I would think so. Maybe who might be sitting beside you? Who might be sitting beside you? That little boy, that little baby might be sitting beside you. That daughter-in-law, that oldest boy, and youngest, you just keep hanging in there, Larry Cox. That thing will make fill up the whole thing. You're doing that.
See them faces are coming up out of that altar, and I still believe my God. I'm not giving up on him. Got no reason to. When they look at me, I want them to know who I say he is. I say he's my God. I say he saved something like me, and he can save whosoever will. Come to these waters of life and break free. I believe in my God. Yeah, I'll get low and I'll get discouraged. But I'll keep believing. I'll keep trusting. Because I can go back and I can remember. I can remember praying for some moments. And I've seen them get delivered. Not because I pray, but because God, I call them out. I got to study on this and I got to pray about this. I seen Elijah. I seen them prophets of Baal. This world believes in what it's doing to. It believes enough to give its life to what it believes. But you know what? It can't get delivered. You go back over in Isaiah and he talks about people there. He talks about a people in that up there about the 8th verse of that 29th chapter. He said, "And it shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, and he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and he behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint,
and his soul hath appetite, so shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. You know what this world's like? It's like it's in a dream. You know what them prophets of Baal was like over there, stomping on their holler, cutting their self and jumping up and down? That's all this world's doing today. It's a stomping on an empty altar. It's a calling on an empty God. Hey, it didn't get no answer. Hey, but I'm going to tell you what, when all Elijah stepped up and in faith went to crying out, oh my God, I can't that night. There's an answer coming. The church of the living God, they're calling out on a God that can deliver and will.
This whole world is just like somebody to dream. And they think they're drinking. They think they're eating. You know what? They're going to wake up one day hungry. They're going to wake up one day thirsty. And they ain't going to have nothing. But I'm thankful I done started picking from the fountain. I'm thankful I done eating from the bread. Hey, I'm getting full. Hey, I'm getting full on something that will always be there. I don't have an appetite for anything else but God.
You beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. I ain't talking about natural bread.
I'm talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. You want this old world to tell you? You eat up all the world you want. You know, you get all the world you want. That's what this world is doing here. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. That's bread that won't feed you good. That's water that won't quench your thirst. You want some savor. You want some delight. You want some joy. You eat this true bread. You drink the waters of life. Oh, I hope you see this. Ain't nothing no more prettier than what I'm looking at right now. I see a church of not a dead God, but a living God, an almighty powerful God, one that spoke this world into existence and breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils. And I want this world to read me and know me. And I want them to read the letter of itself. And I want them to find savor, delight, and joy in Jesus on the nail. Brother, let David know now. That little woman come home many a time and told you about some good bread. She come home many a time and told you about a good drink of water. You know what? TV media, TV broadcast, you couldn't go tell nobody else about it. And now everybody's reading you. You used to read her, now they're reading you. I used to read Henry Rice's wife, now they're reading me. You used to read Charlie Freeman's wife, now they're reading you. You used to read his mom and daddy's life, now they're reading you. Who do they say that you are? Who do they say that your God is? Flesh and blood, you're everything. You're a father. What's your will? Is that right for somebody to be a good man? No. If you'll be thinking more, this world's looking for every excuse. Why should we be? Why should we be? What problem would it see that guy on the machine look like Jesus? You know what? When Moses come down after the Lord gave him the commandments, people told him to laugh out of his face. I didn't know something that they were going. They just wanted to hear what he had to say. They didn't want to have no part of it. They just wanted to hear what he had to say. And you know what he said even to that day? Like, if they were still blind, today. They still are today anyway, but they don't want the glory and the power of God on. They just want to know what to say. This world needs to see the light shine around you. And I don't care if you're popular. They need to see Jesus. I could quit singing any gospel song out here on the job. Father Freeman, quit going up down the creek telling people about Jesus. We're part of here. You cover that stuff up. We want it. We know there's a church down the road. We know what being good is. We know all these things. But you think you tell me what's right, what's wrong? I know this about you. Then I thought you tell me, I know what you've done.
You know what this world's trying to do? They're trying to cover up the glory of God. And they're trying to cover it up with us. It's Bible. It's blessed, blessed Word of God. Right here. They're reading something.
But they're not reading the epistle. It's written in that heart. They're reading the flesh. And you're not with me. They love you by that fellow that calls himself a Christian. That lady that calls herself a Christian. That's why they know you. That woman that gets on the phone and runs everybody down there at the church house, they love you by that. That one pastor slipping down there to leave me and getting weird every now and then. They'll know you by that. They'll know you by that one that'll go on with the dirty stuff on the jobs. They'll know you by that. You know what they need to do with that reading? That epistle. That good sense. That word has been rooted in heart without energy. That's what this world needs to be reading. They need to be reading somebody. Why not with their God? It's not a shame to say I'm a born again child of God. Remember when you first got saved? If you're saved here tonight, do you remember that?
I'm afraid. They couldn't shut me up. They couldn't shut me up, Lisa. 12 years old is where I went. I got saved. Some people didn't get more than what I was talking about. And where I went, when I got to go back to school, I could be sick, I got saved. When I went to the doctor, I got saved. Well, what do you mean, son? When Jesus came by, He saved me. If I went to a church somewhere and people got to talk to me, I got saved. Why, I'm so proud of that. And where I went, I got saved.
I got a God. I always tried in my life. I had a God, and had a God, that I could save and delight and enjoy every day of my life. And you know what? Everywhere I go, I need to be saying, I got saved. I got Jesus. And I don't want to say, He's a lost blessing. I don't want to say He's a good old boy. Why is everybody that dies to feel the world with the movie? It's all good. But I don't care what they thought of the movie. But I want to say that we've got saved. That those young people. You know, it's been busy when you walk in somewhere and somebody can say, I ain't worried about them. Now, I've been when they got saved. Well, I remember them standing up there at the church to tell the testimony. And above all of that, I see them walk alive to please you, God. Let it just be what we stand and say before we stand and do. As you want, draw on with that mouth. Draw a knife. You want to step far, far away. Let it just be my friend. It's a life of living.
I hope that the Lord has
opened your eyes like He did mine. That's why I really want to know the future of your wisdom. I got to sit down there and I thought, Lord, how can they be willing? But I took it to see if they can open it up. And I just promise you, I didn't even scratch the surface. Not even scratch the surface to the beauty of your life showing me this. You just keep on Then he said, in the place. He put it in the wrong place. This refuge is big. I'm just going to live open. See, I had to see it open up. I'm just getting some more and more. Once we get more and more, so we just keep walking. And this place just gets larger and larger and larger.
We've got hope, church.
Who would say He is? Who does the world say that you are? Just another one in the crib or a child of the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you, you can live right now calling them a hypocrite. That's all right. In their heart, they'll know what they read for real.
These people read this book right here and they try to twist the words around in it.
Don't think they won't try to twist your life around.
They will.
Isaac, I think I quoted it this morning. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I'm not presenting myself as a sacrifice unto this world, but as a sacrifice unto God, which is my reasonable service. If I give my life and open unto Him, He'll shine the light, Mark.
Not no artificial light like you're talking about this morning, but a true light in the flesh like this.
People see the glory of God
shining through me. I love you. I thank God.